Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, how are we doing, ladies? Good? Hey, I think standing, let's continue to stand all over this place. I think it's the appropriate posture because I don't know about you, but I love the leadership of this house. And I'm so thankful for the vision. I'm thankful for the blood, sweat, and tears you put into that brochure, Pastor Debbie, because people are meeting Jesus because of her intentionality, because of her faith, because of her sacrifice. And I'm just blessed to be here. I always leave more inspired, more ready to love my city like never before. And come on, can we put our hands together for Pastor Debbie and the whole team, everybody? Seen and unseen, this night is very special. Shout out to all the ladies at the West Campus. I'm so excited to share this night with you too. Before you're seated, why don't you turn to your left, your right, high five a couple people, tell them I'm glad I'm sitting next to you. Go for it. Oh man, what a night we've already had. How cool are your twinkle crowns? Those are awesome. And the brochure is beautiful and worship was incredible. You know, I can't believe it that it's been 2 years since I've been here because it feels like yesterday. You put such an imprint on my heart. You are family. And I've been looking forward to this weekend for a really long time. Last time I was here, we celebrated the miracle of after 8 years of walking through infertility, being able to see a miracle take place in our home. And a year and a half ago, my son Wyatt Wesley Wilkerson was born. You guys saw me just a couple months before it happened. He's here. He is running all over the place. And then I am today 5.5 months pregnant with baby boy number two. And I think I have a picture of our family. Those are my guys, all three of them. I'm crazy about them, but my husband sends his love. He loves this house too. But if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Exodus? We're gonna open up to Exodus chapter 15. And as you turn there, let me just give you a little backstory on what this text is saying so that it makes sense. Exodus is full of the story of Moses and the Israelites and the Hebrew people being brought out of slavery in Egypt. And the text we're about to read is right after they have left slavery, they've seen a miracle, God has delivered them from the hands of Pharaoh. And as they leave, they come up against another impossible circumstance, and that is that the Red Sea is before them, and there's nowhere they're gonna get across. So it seems like what God has just saved them from actually had no point, because now they've come up against something that they actually cannot conquer. But God once again shows up, right? And God splits the Red Sea, they walk on dry ground across the Red Sea, and as Pharaoh's army is chasing after them because Pharaoh changed his mind, God releases his hand, the waters go right back to where they were, destroying the entire Egyptian army, and there they are on the other side of the Red Sea, I'm sure with their jaws on the floor, just going, what just happened? And as they are standing there looking at another miracle that has transpired, the Bible says that Moses lifts up a song of worship to God. So I just want you to read this text imagining 2 million people worshiping. Like tonight it was loud, right? We have a couple thousand women in here. That's a miracle. But I want you to imagine millions, mothers, fathers, children, singing along with Moses with their hands lifted high, a song of worship to God. This is what it says in Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and rider he has thrown into the sea." They watch this with their own eyes. "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him." And I just want to bring your attention to verse 2 one more time. It says this: the Lord is my strength, my song, and he has become my salvation. I want to take the next few minutes that we have together to talk to you on this thought: she knows. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, thank you for tonight. God, thank you for what you've already done. God, in worship, Lord, as we lifted our eyes to you, God, you change our perspective. Our situation may not be changed, but Lord, faith has already been stirred in this house. So God, I pray as we look to your word that you do what only you can do. Thank you for the generations represented in this room. Thank you for every story. Thank you that you're the healer of broken hearts, the restorer. God, you can do anything. So we celebrate you and we look to you for hope tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said?
Amen.
Oh, come on, one more time. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. I wore my tennis shoes. I'm ready to party with you guys tonight. Here we are in 2019. I don't know about you, but this year has flown by, has it not? Like, I don't know where the first half of this year has gone. Here we are, and half of the year has already gone right past us. And here we are in 2019. We are the most blessed generation. We have more information at our fingertips than any generation in all of history. Whatever information we need, we can find it most likely. But even with all the information at our fingertips, even with all the resources that you and I are blessed to say that we have, there's so much that we still don't know. There's still so many questions that we have in our life. There's still questions about our purpose, about what the future holds, about what God's will is for our lives, and which way we should walk, and how we should walk, and why we should walk. We all in this room have questions. All of us in this room have things that we are asking God tonight. You know, maybe you're at the West Campus today and you're going, there are things in my life that I don't know how to find the answer to. It reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's known as the love chapter, but there's this one phrase that says, now we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the partial, it's gonna disappear. And you know, I've always looked at that scripture with a glass half empty mentality. I've always looked at it like, man, I can't wait for the day that I know everything. I can't wait for the day that the partial's gonna be gone and I'm gonna know the whole story. There's not gonna be one question in my mind. But hear me tonight. I think we miss out on the power of this verse in the here and now when we look at it with a glass half empty mentality. Because what that verse is saying is, there's something for you to know right now. There's something for you to be assured of. There's a firm foundation for you to bank your life upon right now, even with your questions, even with your concerns, even with the unknown. You don't have to worry. There's something for you to know. What do you know for sure in your heart of hearts tonight? Because Moses declares, first and foremost, God is my strength. Will you say that with me tonight? God is my strength. God's strength becomes reality when you realize just how weak you actually are. I'm fully aware of how weak I am. I remember dating my husband. We met when we were 17 years old. We've been together for 17 years now, married for close to 13 years. And when I was a teenager, we were dating and I was trying to impress him on this like mountain climbing hike. And I ended up freezing on the side of the mountain in panic and terror, having to have the mountain instructor come up the mountain and carry me back down. I can tell you about my own weakness of me trying to learn how to ride through the streets of Cambridge as I studied in college on a bike to class every day and having multiple wrecks with other people and all by myself. I can tell you as a high schooler playing softball, playing left field, dreaming of the day that I would be able to pitch. And what that day came when my coach called me out onto the pitcher's mound. He put the ball in my glove and he said, go for it. And I wound up and I released. And as that ball came straight towards the home plate, I nailed the girl in the back and she walked to first base. Coach came out after one pitch. And he took the ball out of my glove and he sent me back to left field. I got winded this week just running down a hallway. I can tell you all about the weaknesses in my life. Strength has great potential for growth in my life. I can tell you about 8 years of walking through infertility. Of the first few years of that journey of trying to start a family and coming up against obstacle after obstacle, trying to do it in my own strength. I can tell you about the first few years of me walking through infertility and not wanting anybody to know that there was an issue in my life, acting like everything was okay and convincing myself that I could find a solution before anybody around me even knew that there was a problem. But the road was way longer than I ever expected. It was far lonelier than I ever could have anticipated. And I came to the end of my own strength. And I came to a place where I had to decide to relinquish my weak and broken inferior strength to the God who holds perfect strength. Come on, if you believe it tonight, will you put your hands together for the God that we serve? His strength is perfect. And it's wild because we love to testify about the strength of God, right? But we like to testify on the other side of the miracle. We love to like give God glory when we've seen him move in a miraculous way. But let me tell you, that's not when we see God's strength show up. We see God's strength show up in the middle of the battle. We see his strength show up when there's more that we don't know than we do. When the tears stream down our face, when we don't know what to say, when we don't know what to do. Come on, can I get a witness in the house tonight that that's when God's strength shows up? He shows up right when we need him. All you need to awaken to tonight is that God's not waiting on your strength. He's waiting on you to surrender to his. He's not waiting on you to fix yourself. He's not waiting on you to walk in this room and make it happen and impress or put on something, a show. No, God's just going, hey, will you surrender those broken pieces of your life so that I can just heal you? So that I can actually shape you the way that I intended to before your life ever began? Can you just surrender your... It reminds me of a scripture that I held on to for those 8 years. Paul says it. He says, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Can I tell you, girlfriends, that should set a couple people free in this house tonight. That should get a couple women at the West Campus excited because maybe your breakthrough can come just by you being a little more open with your sisterhood about what's going on in your life. If you just open up your heart and share, if you just pour out your spirit and your soul to God about what you're really facing. I believe in that moment that you begin to boast, like Paul said, about your weaknesses, in that moment, you'll experience God's strength like you never have before. Like you never, ever have before. God's strength is waiting to be released in your life. I think when we think of the word strength, a lot of times we think of breakthrough. Of being propelled forward, like, oh, God's strength is gonna take me to the next level. He's gonna push me through this door into the next season. But I think a lot of times God's strength just looks like us standing firm. Like, here I am, God. You've called me to stand firm. This is where you've placed me, and I may not be able to push down this door or this mountain or this obstacle in front of me, but I know one thing. I'm not going back. I'm not going to run in fear and intimidation. I'm not going to run back on what God has given me. Some of you in this room, you're in the new mom season. I'm with you. You need to stand firm. This season's not gonna last forever. Dig in, don't back down. Don't question whether you are the right mother for your children. God is creating the legacy of your life. Lean in, love well, treasure these moments, stand firm. Others of you in this room, you're fighting for your marriage and you don't know how to fix it. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to make it better. Can I tell you, you may not be able to fix it, but you can decide, I'm not going to take one more step back. I'm not going to run and hide. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. I'm going to try to get the resources that I need. I'm going to try to surround myself with a sisterhood who can lift me up in prayer as I wait on God to do what only He can do. Come on, do you believe it today? There's power as we stand firm. But what we do so often is we try to like make it happen in our own strength. And that's what we see in the story of Moses. Moses, before he ever delivers the Hebrew people out of Egypt, he tries to do things on his own. And we read the story of Moses growing up in the palace, sees the injustice around him, tries to fix it in his own strength, actually ends up committing murder himself. That's where your own strength leads you. He has to go on the run. He leaves the life that he has led. He's in the middle of nowhere, and God tracks him down. Because God never gives up on us. Aren't you thankful that we serve a God that never, ever, ever gives up on us? He calls Moses by name. He says, Moses! And this time, he gives Moses a mission to go back and bring freedom to the Hebrew people. Moses goes back to the same place, but this time he doesn't walk in his own strength. This time he walks in full of the strength and the power of Almighty God, the same man with a heart that is fully surrendered to God. And he doesn't save one man, he saves an entire nation. I'm trying to tell you tonight, God can do anything with the heart that is surrendered to him. But it's all about you surrendering your strength. I grew up with stories of modern day heroes and biblical heroes. And one of the stories, one of the women that I grew up with my mom telling me about is a woman by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. And Corrie Ten Boom, she and her family were placed in Auschwitz concentration camp for hiding Jews from the Gestapo, and Corrie was the only one in her family to make it out alive. She spent the rest of her life traveling the world, preaching the gospel to the destitute, to the marginalized, to the persecuted. Corrie tells the story of a conversation that she had with her father when she was a young girl. She had been reading the Bible, she'd been reading the stories of the martyrs, and she was terrified that she didn't have the strength to walk out God's purpose for her life. She went to her dad as a little girl. She said, Dad, I don't think I have the strength to be a martyr for Jesus. Her dad looked back at her so wisely. He said, Corrie, when you take the train from Amsterdam to Harlem, when do I give you the money to buy the ticket? Do I give you the money 3 weeks before? She looked back at her dad. She said, No, Dad, you give me the money right before I get on the train. He looked back at her, he said, You're right. And so it is with your wise Heavenly Father. He knows exactly what you need when you need it. He said, Corrie, today you're not being asked to be a martyr for Jesus, but should that day ever come that you're called upon with the honor to be a martyr for Jesus, at that very moment, the strength of Almighty God will fill you up with everything that you need. Come on. on, I'm speaking to somebody tonight. Don't let the enemy back you into a corner with fear. Don't let him intimidate you and make you run and hide from the call of God on your life. When you need the strength, that's when you'll receive it. When you call on his name, that's when he'll show up. When you open up your heart, that's when he'll fill you with the power of heaven. We serve a God who gives us supernatural strength. But Moses doesn't just testify about God's strength. Moses goes on and he says, God is my song. This is a sisterhood that knows God is my song. Will you say that with me? God is my song. You know, some songs just become anthems in your life. Baby shark, baby shark. Mama shark, mama shark. I see you, mama shark. You guys, that song is anointed. It's changing a generation. Our kids, my son is going to be at a party when he's 15 and the DJ is going to drop that beat. It's going to be Baby Shark. He's going to go crazy. But as a kid, for me it was, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day. You guys know it too. You sound so good. You do too at the West Campus. But when I became a preteen, can I just be honest with you? My whole world was Mariah Carey. Everything was Mariah Carey. Heartbreaker, you got the best of me, but I just keep on coming back incessantly. Oh, why did you have to run your game on me? I should have known right from the start you'd go in. She wanna shop with Jay, play box with Jay. She wanna pillow fight in the middle of the night. She wanna drive my Benz with five of her friends. She wanna pre-pass the block spine again. She wanna roll with Jake, chase eels away. She wanna fight with lame chicks, blow my day. She wanna inspect the rest, kick me to the curb if she finds one strand of hair longer than hers. She wants run to the jacuzzi, hang out at the movies, answer to the old crib, keys to the new. She wanna answer the phone, tattoo her arm. That's when I gotta send her back to her mom. She called me heartbreaker when we had parted ways. I want a piece of paper, scribble down, I hate ya. But you know she loved Jay because she loved everything. Everything Jay say, Jay does. I saw you sing every word with me. That was our duet. Some songs just mark your life. Music is powerful, isn't it? Because when you hear a melody and you hear the lyrics, it takes you right back to the moment you first heard it, to that summer, to that worship experience, to that moment you were all alone in the presence of God and you poured out your heart to him. Songs mark our lives. And this song that 2 million people sang together in Exodus chapter 15, when that many people sing a song, how many of you know it's not easily forgotten? It's passed down generation to generation. The Jewish people passed down this beautiful declaration of the faithfulness of God. And we don't see it just in the book of Exodus, but you can flip to Psalms chapter 118 and you see the psalmist David quote the same refrain. As he quotes the words of Moses that in Psalms chapter 118, verse 14, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. See, this time David isn't talking about the Red Sea parting. This time David is declaring it for his own life. That God, you are my strength. You're my song. You've become my salvation. You found me in the pasture as a teenager, singing to you because you were my song and you've brought me to the palace. You brought me through so many different wars and battles. God, you've protected me. God, you've forgiven me. God, you've given me a purpose. David is declaring it for his own life now. And this chapter, Psalms chapter 118, it's part of a grouping of chapters that are read at the Passover. Always. It very well could have been one of the last things on the mind of Jesus as he broke bread with the disciples. God, you are my strength. God, you are my song. Lord, you are my salvation. You see, music holds power. Music is an innate characteristic throughout all creation. You can look at animals, from birds to whales, and they use an innate melodic song to communicate needs within their community, to communicate distress. And we, as humanity, we do the same thing. You know, every single night I rock my son to sleep, and I sing over him as I rock. It's one of my favorite things. And it's deeper than what we think. It's actually got a term. It's called motherese. It's a sing-song language that as you sing over your children, as I sing over my children, maybe you serve in the kids department, as you sing over those babies and nurture them, you are speaking a real language that is nurturing them and speaking confidence, speaking environmental awareness, speaking routine into their life. It's something that is inexplicable, but transpires in every region and every culture of the entire world. Music holds power. What exactly is music? Well, music is just vibrations of air. It's vibrations of air that enter in through your eardrum, and then it's interpreted as music, as timbre, as melody, as harmony, as beats, as what we know as music. Could it be that this is what we read of in Genesis chapter 1, when we read of the Spirit of God hovering over the deep, that the Spirit of God was trembling over the deep, and this hovering, this pulsating, this trembling of air, these vibrations. Could it be that it was worship? Music isn't just for the good times either. When someone suffers a stroke and they lose their ability to communicate through speech, oftentimes they retain the ability to sing. And they can sing to communicate their needs. Even when the brokest area of the brain region that processes language skills, is impaired, oftentimes the stroke victim can still sing to communicate their needs. Some of you in this room, you've tuned me out because you're like, Dontri, I'm not creative. But can you come back and preach that to the worship team? Because I don't sing. But what you got to know is that we used to think that music was processed in the right hemisphere, but now through fMRI research, we know that music is processed globally, meaning that for every single one of us, music is used for the remediation and the mediation of your motor skills, of your emotional skills, of your language skills, and of your social skills. What am I telling you? I'm telling you that as you lifted your hands tonight, you weren't just singing lyrics, but God was doing something deeper than you knew. Come on, how many of you believe today that there's power in your worship? There's power in your praise. There's breakthrough in your song. That's why you can't be late to church anymore. That's why you gotta get here early. Because when the word is declared, breakthrough awaits us. Healing takes place from the start because God is in the midst, because God is our song. And David understood this. David understood from a young boy that there are just some things that you can't work out. Come on, is somebody with me? There's some things you cannot figure out. There's some things you can't even pray out. But David knew you can always sing it out. If you're depressed tonight, you can sing it out. If you're full of anxiety tonight, you can sing it out to the God that you serve. And he doesn't just hear you, but he meets you right where you are. Why? Because God is our song. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. God, where's my help come from? Oh, God, it comes from you. David said, you lifted me up out of the miry pit. God, you put my feet on a firm foundation. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not gonna fear any evil. Because he knew, God, you are my song. The song of the Lord is simply the declaration of who he is. You don't have to be clever. You don't have to be intimidated by what words need to come out of your mouth. You just need to start declaring who your God is. It's a declaration of the character and the nature of the God you serve, and that fills you up with his very spirit. You can look to the civil rights movement. Martin Luther King Jr., it was the song of the Lord that was at the center of the movement. It was the song of the Lord as little children in chiffon dresses were attacked by police dogs. It was a song of the Lord as pastors in small African American churches were dragged out into the streets and beaten. It was the song of the Lord as a few thousand brave souls marched across a bridge in Selma, named for the former Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan. It was a song of the Lord that was on their lips every step of the way, that we shall overcome. And let me tell you, the song of the Lord brings light into the darkest places. The song of the Lord brings freedom where there is bondage. The song of the Lord opens up eyes to the truth of Almighty God. It's the song of the Lord that holds power for you in the here and now. But it's not just that God is your strength. It's not just that God is your song. But lastly tonight, all of us need to understand. We need to know. You walk out of these doors and you go into your workplace or you're in your home, that people can look at you and go, oh, she knows. She knows. God is her strength. She knows. God is her song. But that's not all Moses said. That's not all that David said. There's one more thing that you and I have to know. That's God is my salvation. We say that with me? God is my salvation. In Exodus, Moses and the Israelites sang it when God had saved them from the Egyptian army and allowed them to pass through the Red Sea. Exodus 15:2, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. What did they say? You saved us from Egypt, Lord. And then we go to Psalms chapter 118, and David says it again. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Lord, you saw me when no one else saw me. You plucked me out of the field and you gave me a purpose and a future. That's not the last time we see this refrain. Because you can open up the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah the prophet repeats the same words of Moses and the same words of David. Third time in the Bible, the same proclamation is uttered. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. When the prophet declares, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. And this time, he's not saying, Lord, you saved me from the Red Sea. Isaiah's not saying, God, you saw me in the pasture and you brought me into a purpose. This time, Isaiah is looking through the lens of faith into the future that God himself has opened up his eyes to view. And Isaiah sees the day that God the Father would send his only son to save a broken humanity. This is the same prophet who declared, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." God's doing a new thing in this room tonight, ladies. Not just corporately, but individually. God's doing a new thing at the West Campus tonight, in your marriage, in your emotional state, in the way that you view the women around you. God is doing a new thing. And the new thing that Isaiah is declaring is not the Red Sea, is not past battles, is not great victories that the Hebrew people have seen, but it is that Jesus would come to this earth, that he would die on a bloody cross, that he would raise back to life 3 days later, and that you and I, because of that sacrifice, that we could claim salvation every single day of our life. Oh, come on, do you love him tonight? Do you love him tonight? It says if Isaiah is holding hands with Moses and David while pushing us to Jesus, no longer will you go and make blood sacrifices. No longer will you have to speak to someone else to get to me. But because of the price of Jesus Christ, no matter what our story, no matter what our shame, no matter what our background, no matter what our mistakes, when we surrender our heart to Jesus, we get to walk into the throne room of our Father God with our head held high, knowing that we're loved, we're seen, we're adored, we're purposed. So come on, did that get anybody excited in this house? You see, the direct translation, when Isaiah says it, that word salvation is my Yeshua, my Jesus. God is my strength, God is my song. God, you're my Jesus. And if there's anything that Pastor Debbie wants you to understand tonight, is that he's not just your neighbor's Jesus. He's not just your pastor's Jesus. He's not just your small group leader's Jesus. He's not just your spouse's Jesus. He is your Jesus. He adores you. He loves you. And more than anything, he doesn't want you to continue to limp along, acting like everything is okay, trying to piece the pieces together with your own strength, trying to rewrite the words of a melody that you've sung over and over again, but it never brings strength to your life. He wants to bring you a new song. He wants to bring you supernatural strength. And his salvation is not just one moment, but it's salvation in every season of your life. Salvation from your fear. Can I get a witness tonight? Salvation from your insecurity. Salvation from your broken past. Salvation for the sickness in your body. Salvation for us in every single moment of our lives. Will you allow the voice of your life to join with the harmony of history? Will you allow the message of your life to say the same thing that Moses said, the same thing that David said, the same thing that Isaiah said? God, you're my strength. You're my song. You have become my salvation, my Jesus. I think if we're all being honest, that's what we really desire. But I think if we're all being honest also, you and I would say that it's easy to remember and to know, like, oh, she knows, when you're surrounded by thousands of women. But how often do we walk out of these doors and forget what we know? So maybe the cry of your heart is, I know right now, but Don Cherie, how can I know when I walk out of these doors and I'm by myself? I love the word of God because it speaks straight to the questions in our heart. Sometimes we forget what we know. But I'm reminded of what Psalms 46:10 says. Be still and know that I am God. Shouting is biblical. Praising God, getting excited, clapping, lifting our hands. It's all part of God's plan for your life, and you should embrace it fully. But God's plan for your life is also that you would learn to be still in His presence. And in the stillness, He's able to establish a knowing that can't be shaken by the storms of life. I know there are probably some moms in here that are like, oh, I just need some sleep. You probably do need some sleep, but you also need to be still. You also need those quiet moments in the presence of God to remember who you are and who the God that you serve is.